Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to touch on why your calves aren't growing and why they may be small and basically help give you the tools and the understanding of the role of the calves, what they do, what exercises will train them effectively, and what work we can do to stop them becoming a weakness or turn them from a weakness into a strength. So in terms of the anatomy of the calf, or in other words, the function role of the calf, what the calf's comprised of, is you've got the gastrocnemius and the soleus, which is basically the two parts of the calf. And you've got the gastrocnemius, which is a muscle that will join on to your foot and also cross the back of the knee, if that makes sense. So crosses the knee joint. And what that basically means is see when a muscle will cross two joints, or see if it crosses the joint, it means it will most likely influence that joint. So your gastrocnemius, for example, if it crosses the ankle and the knee joint, that makes it a biarticular muscle. And I know this might sound a bit confusing, and I've just jumped into the episode straight away, and I'm kind of rhyming off all these fancy words, but bear with me, I'll make sure to explain it so you understand. So a biarticular muscle just means it crosses two joints, which means it changes the length of the joints. Think about a good example, it's like your hamstring. Your hamstring, if you bend your knee, you feel a squeeze in your hamstring. But if you, let's say you touch your toes. When you're touching your toes to try and stretch your hamstrings, do you do it with your legs bent? No, you do it with legs straight. Why is that? The hamstring crosses the knee and the hip. Basically, if we want to stretch the hamstring, we need to have a straight knee and a bent hip. The calf muscle is somewhat similar. It crosses the ankle and the knee joint. And you've got another muscle called the soleus that basically doesn't. So that doesn't cross over the knee. And what that basically means is both of the muscles in your calf, because they both cross ankle, they'll both have a role in plantar flexion. In other words, doing like a calf raise or pushing your toe down. Whereas the gastrocnemius, which is the muscle that crosses the knee, that also aids in knee flexion. Or in other words, it can bend the knee, like on a hamstring curl, for example. And the soleus is usually referred to as more of a slow twitch muscle group, which means it's comprised of more slow twitch muscle fibers, which are typically less responsive to muscle growth. And there's also the gastrocnemius, which I will refer to as the gastroc throughout this podcast, just so you're aware. So when I say the gastroc, that is meaning the gastrocnemius, just so we're on the same page, okay? And we've got, as for exercise selection, we want to consider when it comes to bringing up the calf. So as I touched on, we want to first, when we're working out exercise selection, know the role of each muscle group. And we know that the both will cross the ankle. So basically, whenever we do like a calf raise, in other words, push your toes down, that's going to work the calf. There's more to it than that, of course. But when it comes to calf raises, leg curls will work your gastrocnemius or your gastroc, right? Because they cross over the knee. But I wouldn't think, oh, I'm training my calves, I want to bring up my calves, so do more leg curls. So we'll work them during leg curls, but leg curls aside, that's not probably something we'll pick from exercise selection, because although it works it, it's not going to be like the main mover, or it shouldn't be if you're doing it with good form, let's say. So the main bulk of your work when it comes to exercise selection for bringing up your calves should be a straight leg calf raise, in my opinion. And that could be doing like a standing calf raise, just any sort of calf movement with your knee bent where you feel stable and that you can progress over time. Because again, what makes any exercise effective is having good amount of progressive runway, in other words, being able to progress it over time. And when it comes to like a straight leg variation, this is going to work our gastroc and our soleus. Whereas, see when we do a seated calf raise, like on a machine, we shorten the gastroc. The gastroc being the part of the calf that's more responsive to muscle growth due to being more fast twitch. And As a result, since we don't work our gastroc as much due to it being shortened in length and not having as much leverage when we're doing a seated calf raise, the straight leg calf raise variation should be the bulk of our work ideally, because it will work both. It'll give you more stretch for basically both muscle groups, and especially the gastrocnemius, which is the more growth prone, you could say. So that should be the main movement we choose. And seated's not bad doing, like a seated calf raise. I just wouldn't rely on it. I just wouldn't make it all of your work for bringing up your calves. And as for what like a straight leg calf variation will look like, you can literally do it on whatever machine feels best. So anything with your knee straight, it could be a leg press, it could be doing a calf raise machine of some sort, it could be using a standing calf raise, anything. Or it could be a Swift machine with like a step up block on it. My personal favourite is going to be the just like a seated leg press, which is pin loaded. Why? Because on like a pin loaded leg press, it's easy to perform because you just need to adjust the pin. You don't need to load plates on the machine, making it more convenient. You're not worrying about stabilizing your hip upwards. You're nice and stable at the hip because you're sat on the seat. So you don't need to worry about moving at the hip or keeping your lower back, your hips nice and still. The machine does that for you, and you just worry about keeping the knee straight. So there's less joints to manage. You're not unnecessarily loading your backs, your traps, etc. And you're just in a really stable and effective environment to perform a calf raise in. And as for execution when it comes to calf work, so when we're thinking about training the calves, we want to make sure we are using a large range of motion, pretty much like every other muscle group. We want to also only move primarily at the ankle joint, because again, the role of the calf is to basically carry out plantar flexion, which is basically a fancy way of saying point the toe. So if we are, let's say, moving the knee, moving the hip, the calf's not responsible for bending the knee, bending the hip. Well, it is responsible for bending the knee, but not that doesn't mean we want to do it throughout a calf raise. So we want to keep everything still and only move at the ankle joint, ideally. And in terms of execution, I also quite like pausing it in the stretch. Reason being is you've got your Achilles tendon, which is one of the largest tendons on your body. And that's like a really big tendon that runs up and basically joins your calf onto you. And if we are, let's say, performing a calf raise and just bouncing out the bottom, it's very easy to kind of use that, what you could say, stretch reflex, and basically use other soft tissue structures that aren't muscular to move the weight out that position. So basically, how do you know your calf's working if you're just bouncing out of it and using momentum out of that position? You don't. So killing that stretch, pausing that stretch, and then actively pressing out the bottom with your calves, not a bad idea at all. And what I also recommend is always address your effort and your execution first when trying to train the calves, or any other muscle group, to be fair. Because if we're thinking about bringing up a muscle group, if we're doing poor quality work, more poor quality work is only going to lead to poor quality results. If we are, let's say, you doing our movements in a way that's yielding injury risk, if we do more of that work, then it's just going to provide a greater likelihood of injury risk. So effort and execution should always be addressed first. We want to ensure quality before adding quantity. And always, whenever we're doing any movement, progressing it over time. We know we need progressive load. In other words, we know we need to progress the stimulus to provide muscle growth, which basically means we shouldn't just be doing the same weight for the same reps week on week, month on month. And as for the placement, in other words, when you should be training your calves, so to ensure the quality of your calf works high, you can place it at the start of things like legs, for example. What that can do is that the benefits of that can be multifaceted. It can improve your mobility so that you get more out of your squat and your leg press, because you can get your knee further over your toe, allowing you to get more quad. It allows you to train your calves when they're not fatigued, because they can maybe get a bit fatigued when you are doing a squat and variation, because they will play a part in somewhat going up on the squat, you could say. Same with like a leg press and during leg curls. And also, it doesn't take away from other lifts. So I've never done like calves at the start and thought, oh, my ability to perform well on other lifts has diminished. When you do calves, yes, they play a part in stabilizing the knee. So you might feel, you could feel a tiny bit more stable maybe doing if you're doing like a free weight squat. Try it and find out. You probably won't. It probably won't make that big a deal. But again, the best thing to do is try it. And what you can also do when you're trying to train your calves is when we're trying to bring up muscle groups, I think training frequency is a good tool because it's shown that there's a dose response between the more work we do, the less return we get for that investment. Meaning if we go from doing 5 sets to 10 sets to 15 sets, the return for your investment you get from that 15th set for that muscle group is going to be poorer. So splitting up the work can yield better results in that sense. And another way to look at it as well is if you're training it more frequently, you've got more opportunities to stimulate muscle growth, recover, stimulate muscle growth again, and repeat that process, leading to, again, better quality work. So I like splitting it up for improving that quality while getting more volume or overall more work in, because the way I look at it is you've already stimulated growth after, let's say, 3 sets of calves or 4 sets of calves. So like if you're doing more after that, what's that contributing to? Yes, maybe a bit more growth, but less growth. Whereas you could get out the gym, recover, eat a meal, and then get back in, stimulate muscle growth again for the calves. And as for increasing volume or doing more work, is it better? If it's recoverable, it usually is. Meaning if you can recover from it session to session, meaning if you do it and you're not sore before doing it again the next session, then it is. If you feel like you do it and then by the time you go and you want to train calves again, you can perform well, you can recover from it, you're still sore, then it's probably not. But most people aren't at that point for doing their calf training yet. The only time that might be the case is if you're just not used to training calves at all. But the best tool we can use to assess if we're doing too much work is our ability to progress. If we are failing to progress our lifts, then we're probably doing too little or too much work. You'll probably know which end of the extreme you are, meaning if you're doing too much work, you'll probably know because you'll be doing a lot. Or if you're doing too little work, you'll probably know if you're not doing too much because you'll be doing like 4 sets a week for calves, so it's probably not too much, let's be honest. And after thinking about execution, placement, what we can also consider is intensifiers. Intensifiers are basically high-intensity techniques which just allow you to get more work done in a shorter period of time. Reason why that's beneficial is time's, again, an infinite resource. And as a result, we don't all want to spend hours in the gym, or we don't all have the time to be spending absolutely just doing sets for our calves, especially when there's other muscle groups to train as well. So you can consider doing things like partials, especially after your last set on your calf work, because you know you've not got another set after. Partials are basically like half reps. So once you can't perform any more full reps, you can rinse out some half reps on your calf raises to then accumulate overall more work. You can also consider doing like an isometric hold. An isometric hold is basically when you hold the stretch after you fail, which will again allow you to get more work in. It's also shown in literature that that passive stretching can also promote muscle growth, as well as potentially helping things like ankle mobility. So it's not a bad idea doing like an isometric hold at the end of it, in case there is any benefit of that passive stretch for muscle growth, because you're still occluded, you're still kind of getting a ton of blood flow into that target muscle, and still getting a ton of metabolic stress. In other words, like lactic acid accumulating, and you're still getting work in, if that makes sense, towards the end. So yeah, I'd definitely do it. And rest pause work's a good tool as well. So rest pause work's a good way to get a productive work in without dropping load. And the reason why rest pause work is good is we know like the 5 reps close to failure are somewhat deemed effective reps. And if we're doing, let's say, drop sets, we end up getting to the point where we drop the weight and we're doing like 10 extra reps. So a rest pause set, usually you don't get that much after the second and third, which means you kind of cut the junk reps and go straight into the stimulative reps. And the rest pause set, for people who don't know what they are, it's just basically when you do a set, you rest 20 seconds, you do a set again, you rest 20 seconds and do a set again. So 3 sets, 20 seconds rest between each. And what that basically allows you to do is just get, again, more work in a shorter period of time. You can also consider things like supersets, which I don't really use for calves just because I'd rather just do the two exercises separate or just a rest pause set and save me setting up two bits of kit. You can also consider like things like drop sets where you drop it to a lighter weight, do a set to failure again. But again, what matters most is do a good amount of work, train really hard for them, progress it over time. And what you can also consider is training your tibialis anterior, or commonly referred to as your tibialis, which is the muscle in the front of your calf that aids in like lifting your ankle up, if that makes sense. So opposite of planting your toes or pointing your toes down. And I personally use like a tibia bar when I'm doing so. And what that can potentially be good for is stabilizing the knee, ankle, and your knee health. If you don't know what like a tibia bar is, it just hooks onto your foot and it basically loads your foot so that when you lift your toes up or your feet up, you'll then work that muscle and you can kind of load it and progress it over time. You can also do a tibia raise, which is simply when you stand with your feet forward, just with the weight on your heels, and then lower, drive your toes up. If you're unsure what I mean, just search up tibia raise. But I think that can be good for stabilizing the knee, ankle, and also overall like knee and ankle health. And just on paper, like, why would you leave a muscle out? Why would you train? It's like training your biceps, but not your triceps. That's the way I look at it. So it's not a bad idea there. And if you don't have like a tibia bar, like I said, a tibia raise is good. But the only downside of it is we can't, therefore, kind of progress it over time as easy. Yes, you can add reps, but you can't add load. And we can also consider, when it comes to your calf training, like consistency and time, as much as it sucks hearing it, regardless if you do everything right, it just takes time to build a certain muscle group. So you just need to kind of do what I touched on there. Do that over not just a week, not 2 weeks, not a month. Do it over many, many months on end, years on end even. And then that's how you grow a muscle group. A lot. It's very much, again, delayed gratification when it comes to building muscle, and your calves are no different. So do the above, do it for a very long period. With your volume, gradually increase it and test the limits of what you can recover from. Volume basically being the amount of sets you have. And if you're struggling to progress, think, are you doing too much the prior session, or in other words, the session before? As that could be why you're struggling to get progression on whatever session you're doing. But what I'd say is, like, personally right now, what I do for calves is I'll hit them, start legs, the end of push, and I'll hit them on a rest day as in personal training, and I'm in the gym anyway. So yeah, test the limits of the volume. Quick recap of the episode. So the calves basically will help bend the knee and also straighten the ankle, you could say, to put it simple. Your best option is probably going to be straight leg calf raise variations, and make sure execution's bang on. You're placing it when you're fresh if you want to get the most out of it, and you're using intensity techniques and maybe can training your tibialis and or your tibia, and do that for a consistent period over time. And yeah, it's good kind of placing it on sessions that are a bit less demanding, like at the end or the start of a push day, so you get more quality work. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. Any support's greatly appreciated, which means that if you did enjoy it, give it a share, give it a like, comment, and also share it on your Instagram story if you were listening or watching and you made it to the end. And any episodes you'd like to see, just let me know. Any support in the podcast just gives me more incentive to keep bringing in episodes out for you guys, so it would be massively appreciated.